Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter 12 and 13. I'll let you guys get there, chapter 12, and we'll open in prayer. About halfway through this book. Yeah. Kind of our favorite book until we get to the book of Ruth, which is next. Right now, this is a favorite. Sundays, we like John, too. Our other favorite book. All right, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon in your name to go through your word, these two chapters, Lord, we ask you that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word and that you'd speak to us, Lord, through your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 12. So a couple of characters in this chapter, just to go over. We're going to be talking, you're going to hear about the Ammonites. They crushed and oppressed the people of Israel and wanted to take Israel's land as their own land, which is back in chapter 10. And last week we read about this man, Jephthah, that defeated them in battle in Judges last week in chapter 11. So, again, Jephthah, he was the ninth judge of Israel. He was a mighty warrior from Gilead, as we read. We're also going to read about the Ephraimites, right? The Ephraimites lived across from the Jordan River from Jephthah, from his land in Gilead. He was on the outside, the other side of the Jordan. They quarreled with Jephthah, as we read, right? They started actually a little short civil war with him in this chapter. So we're going to read about that. We're also going to read about these other three men who are judges. There's just a little bit written about them. We don't know a whole lot, just a little bit. But the 10th judge, his name is Ibzan. He judged Israel for 7 years. We're going to read about him. Elon, he was the 11th judge of Israel, and he judged Israel for 10 years. And then Abdon, he's the 12th judge of Israel, and he judged Israel for 8 years. So again, we're going to read about them towards the end of this chapter. So let's go ahead, we'll get started. We'll write into chapter 12, verse 1. Jephthah's conflict with Ephraim. Verse 1. Then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over towards Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire." Not very nice, huh? You know, just to stop here for 1 minute, these are the same people, these Ephraimites. They did the same thing, if you remember, to Gideon when he had conquered the Midianites. They showed up. They seem to always show up towards the end of the battle, those people, and they want to get in on it when, you know, the war's pretty much over, and they want to get in there and get a little glory out of it. So they're mad now. They're coming to the end of this too, and they're seeing that Jephthah has conquered his enemies, and so now they're upset that they didn't get invited. Okay, this is how these Ephraimites were. So let's pick up, see what happens in verse 2. It says, "And Jephthah said to them," the Ephraimites, "My people and I were in a great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you," he was calling them out, "you did not deliver me out of their hands." Verse 3. "So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand." Excuse me. "Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Verse 4. "Now Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead," that's where he's from, Gilead, "and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim, because they said, 'You Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites, the Gileadites, a lot of ites, seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, "Let me cross over," over to the river, the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, then they would say to him, then say, "Shisboleth." And he would say, "Sipotheth," for he could not pronounce it right. Interesting, isn't that interesting? Shibboleth, just so you know, that means stream. So he's saying, "I want you to say stream in Hebrew," but they couldn't. And he says, then they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan by this crossing. There fell, look at this, there fell at that time, 42,000 Ephraimites. Wow. Verse 7, and Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. And Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried among the cities of Gilead. So let's stop here for a minute. You know the sad part about this whole thing? These are God's people. Same family. Ephraimites, Ephraim, right? One of the tribes. Came from Joseph. And Gileadites, they lived among the people of Israel. And this guy went and fought, and God used Jephthah. So we see a little bit of a civil war going on with these people. And sadly, right, 42,000 Ephraimites died, right? They killed them. So this it goes to show you, you know, that division and things and homes and families and even churches and stuff like that can just cause a lot of problems, right? What did Jesus say? A house that's divided cannot stand, right? This is what we see here going on. Right here with God's people, two tribes, one wanting to get all the glory. Instead of rejoicing with the Gileadites who just conquered their enemies, they got mad because they weren't part of it. They wanted the glory, and then this tragic comes. Right, Paul wrote about this in Corinthians. Right, he wrote to the Corinthians. He says, "Hey, I've heard some of you are saying I'm from Paul. Right, and some of you are saying, 'Oh yeah, well I'm from Apollos,' you know, I'm from Peter. I like Peter." And Paul says, this is about Christ. This isn't about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Peter, right? Because Paul knew this. A house that's divided cannot stand, right? Jesus' own words. You see this here in this chapter, right? After Jephthah defeated the Ammonites, back in chapter 11, which we went over last week, the Ephraimites, they armed themselves and complained that Jephthah had invited them to participate in battle. Most likely, again, because of jealousy. Yeah, most likely because of jealousy. They didn't receive any recognition. And here's the other part of that. They didn't receive any of the spoil. Okay? So a lot of times when these people would take over the enemies, they would take their stuff. They weren't part of it, so they didn't get any of this stuff. Could be part of this. Says, right, the reason Jephthah went out to battle without them was because he previously asked them for help with the Ammonites, right? And what did they say? They didn't show any sign of wanting to help, right? This is exactly what they did to Gideon when he fought against the Midianites. They said, "Hey, we got to go fight the enemies. Let's go. Well, we'll catch up with you." You know, those types of guys, you know. Maybe you're building a deck, there's two boards left, and they show up. Yeah, you need help, to tell everybody they built it. Right? This is what we got going on here with the Ephraimites. Yeah, let us know how you make out in the battle. We'll come at the end when you got a couple left. So the Ephraimites, they got so mad, they started war with Jephthah and the men of Gilead. Right? Jephthah defeated them. He took control of the Jordan River. And the whole crossing, he took over it, and 42,000 men were killed. But isn't it interesting how we were just reading that they would ask them to pronounce that word, Shibboleth. It's a tongue twister, right? But they But they didn't know how to pronounce the H. So they knew they were lying, right? This is how they called them out, because they didn't know who they were. So they'd come and tell them, hey, pronounce this, which is stream. And they, if they couldn't pronounce it, they knew they were lying. But anyway, Jephthah, he judged Israel, it says, for 6 years. So let's go ahead. We'll pick up verse 8. It says in verse 8, it says, after him, Jephthah, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage. Yeah, and brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. Okay, so we know this about him, right? He had 60 kids. That's probably why he died early. Right? He brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his boys. Right? And it says he judged Israel 7 years. Right? Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, after Ibzan, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried at Elajon in the country of Zebulun. So he was part of the Zebulun tribe. So not a whole lot about him, right? Just a little bit. He's from Zebulun tribe. After him, Elon, Abdon, the son of Heliel, the Perathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons, trying to outdo the other man, and 30 grandsons, right, who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the son of Heliel, the Perathonite, died and was buried in Perathon, the land of Ephraim, in the mountains of the Amalekites. So let's just, before we start chapter 13, let's just talk about this for a minute. So after Jephthah, Ibzan of Bethlehem became Israel's 10th judge. It says he judged for 10 years. So this is God raising up judges, right? We don't hear anything here in this little passage about these three judges, about any rebellion or anything going on, no disobedience. So God has raised up these three men, and they judge during those years, and there's nothing that we know of rebellion. Probably people were, you know, that God raised up a man of God, and he was leading them, and they were obeying, because, again, this is what this book is about. That God would raise up somebody to judge, they would get on the narrow path. Soon as the judge died, they're on the wide path, right, to destruction. This went on through this 450 years of this book, back and forth. And then they would cry out to the Lord. He'd raise up another judge. And the judge would die. Here they come, sin again. So this is what's going on. But this man here, Ibzan, he was the 10th judge. He judged for 7 years. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Yep. Elon was 11th judge, right? He judged for 10 years. And then after Elon, Abdon judged for 8 years. Israel, right? He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons. So we got some big families, right? Back then, they had a lot of children, as you can see, right? Now, what does this tell you? A lot of wives, exactly, right? These guys probably had a lot of wives, right? Even though this was tolerated during these times, okay? That was never God's intentions, right? We know this all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right? A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, not wives, wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So God is the author and designer of marriage between a man and a woman, period. That's just the way it is. Anything outside of that isn't marriage before the Lord. That's marriage. God designed it, marriage between a man and a woman, and the two become one flesh, and hopefully they would live a Christ-focused marriage, right? before the Lord. That's how God designed it. So this did go on. This was tolerated during these times, but it was never God's vision of marriage, which we need to know. Okay, let's pick up in chapter 13. We'll go right into 13. Some of the characters in this chapter, Manoah and his wife, right? This married couple from the tribe of Dan, right? Dan is at the very top of Israel. They were from that tribe, the tribe of Dan. We're also going to read about the angel of the Lord, right? This messenger was God himself, the angel of the Lord, right? Pre-incarnate, our Lord, right? He appears, we're going to read, he appears to Manoah and his wife and promised them that they would have a son, right? And his name, Samson. Some of you guys know, you've read the story about Samson, right? Or Samson, no P, right? This baby, right? Baby boy was born to these people, Manoah and his wife, and he was a Nazarite from the womb, which a Nazarite is back in chapter, in Numbers chapter 6. You can read about that. But let's go ahead. Let's go into verse 1. This is about the birth of Samson. It says, again, here we go, right? This is what we're talking about. Look at verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, let's just stop there for a minute. The judges have died, right? So what's going to happen now? They rebel. There's no leader. There's no godly leader. And here they go, right? We've been seeing this all through this book. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It says right here, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So here we go, right? This is a good old discipline from the Lord. He says, if you don't want to walk with me, you want to do evil in my sight, discipline is coming. That's fine. I'll let the Philistines take you over for 40 years. And they did. And they went in and they were oppressed by them. So it says, verse 2, it says, now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Right? This is the Lord speaking to Manoah's wife. Verse 4. Now therefore, right? Now that you know this, right? Please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, no bourbon, and not to eat anything unclean. Verse 5. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay, so let's stop here for a minute. This is going to be the next judge that God's going to raise up to deliver the Israel out of the Philistines' hands for 40 years. So this is the beginning of Samson, right? The Israelites turned away from God, right? And started doing evil things again in his sight. And it's the same cycle over and over. Here it is. I'll give it to you right here. This whole book, three parts. Sin, repentance, deliverance from God, right? Syndrome, over and over. Sin, repentance, deliverance. Sin, repentance, deliverance. This is what's going on, right? So God allowed the Philistines to oppress them for 40 years. That'd be awful. That's like half your life, right, if you make it to 80. Right? It says, in the town of Zorah lived a man named Manoah, Samson's dad, and his wife. His wife was barren and couldn't have children. And the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, okay? pre-incarnate, Jesus Christ, our Lord, coming down, right? Appeared to her one day and told her she would not have a son. This is God standing before Manoah's wife saying, you are going to have a son. I know you're barren. I know you're old. But you're going to have a son, right? Just like he told Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom, right? Her son was going to be special. He was going to be a Nazarite, which is in Numbers 6. And the woman was told to follow specific instructions as we just read about during her pregnancy, right? Nazarite in Hebrew means to separate, all right, to be set apart. He is going to be set apart for God, right? Kind of like we read last week, right? Jephthah's daughter, right? He set apart to the Lord. She was set apart to the Lord to just dedicate her life to the Lord. That's it. In the Bible, a Nazarite who has taken a vow of dedication to God faces three restrictions, okay? If you're going to be a Nazarite, the Israel people, the Jewish people, they had three restrictions. One, no wine or strong drink. Okay? They couldn't have any of that. And they had to refrain from cutting their hair. Okay? So they could no haircuts. No drinking, no haircuts. And avoid contact with dead bodies, which is back in number 6. Okay? Which we went over that a while ago. And the mother was not allowed to drink wine or eat anything unclean. Right? They had a special diet. Okay, we went over that a while ago too, right? But the angel of the Lord promised Manoah's wife that her son would save Israel from the Philistines. Okay, so let's continue on. This is really neat. Let's take a look at this. We're going to read through this. It says in verse 6, the woman came and told her husband. Remember, the Lord was just talking to the wife. She comes over and tells her husband, saying, a man of God, she doesn't know that it was God standing before Jesus, came to me, and his countenance, which means his expression, was like the countenance of an angel of God. Look at this. It says, very awesome. Right? Just like we're going to say that when we see the Lord in heaven. Wow. Right? But she said, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, dedicated to God, from the womb to the day of his death. Verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her, so the Lord came back to talk to the wife again. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me again. Verse 11. So Manoah arose and followed his wife, probably took off running. Sure he wasn't walking. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Right? That Jesus, he says all through, that's one of God's titles, I am, right? He says, what does Jesus say? I am the light. I am the bread of life, right? I am the resurrection of life. I am. That's one of God's titles, right, that he told Moses a long time ago. What is your name? I am. Right? What does Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am, title of God. He said, I am. Manoah said, the husband, right? Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe. She shall follow. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, like come stay with us, and we will prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, let us stay with you, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of God of the Lord. Verse 17, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing this is wonderful? In other words, why do you need to know my name? That's such a wonderful thing. Verse 19, so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. The Lord was standing right before him. And he said, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. Verse 20, so it happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, and the angel of the Lord ascended in a flame of the altar, in the flame of the altar, where Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. It's amazing, right? Imagine being there. Verse 21, when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Right? He's saying God is a consuming fire. We are going to die right here. We saw God. Right? I love his wife's response was. Verse 23, but his wife said to him, if the Lord has desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. Listen, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So let's stop here. She's saying, he's not going to kill us. He would have never appeared to us and told us all these wonderful things to just kill us, right? I think Manoah was a little nervous about this whole situation. Right? It says that Manoah's wife ran to her husband and told him everything the angel of the Lord said to her. Manoah prayed to God right away, right? He started praying, Lord, right? And he asked him, send the angel back. He's like, I want to see this for my own self. I don't know if my wife is losing her mind. Can you send him back? He probably didn't say that, but, right? It says, God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife in the field, and he repeated the instructions that he had given her the first appearance. So God is saying, listen, make sure you take heed and follow these instructions, right? And when Manoah asked the angel his name, right, he responded and says, why do you need to know my name? These are wonderful things. Who cares about what my name is? Right? And Manoah took a goat. He offered it to the Lord with fire. As smoke of the offering went up to the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended to heaven in the smoke. Isn't that neat? You know, that right there points that this was a divine accepting of that offering, that God accepted this offering that they gave to the Lord. He accepted it. All right, Manoah and his wife were stunned and fell on their faces on the ground. Manoah was worried he was going to die because they had seen God. But his wife comforted him, reminding him that the Lord would not have promised. Here's the other thing that she was saying. The Lord would not have promised us a baby to just kill us. That's not the Lord, right? This is what she's talking to her husband, saying, he would have never done. Do you think he's going to kill us? Do you think God's going to kill us? Look at all these wonderful things he took. He accepted our offering. He's going to bless us with a baby boy. And he's going to be a judge. He's going to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Come on, Manoah, get with it. Aren't you listening? Let's just finish with these last two These are two shorter chapters. I'm just going to finish these last two verses. It says, so the woman, the wife, bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the spirit, look at this, right? And the spirit of the Lord began to move upon this child at Manah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. So that ends the chapter right there. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon this little baby right away. Great thing. He's going to use him. Unfortunately, his life is a little bit, it's kind of sad in the end how everything goes. This, we're going to read about this man, Samson. I think from this chapter till maybe chapter 17 is going to be all about this one judge. God writes more about this judge than any other judge right here in this book, Samson. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to read about his life over the next few chapters about this man. Right? In time, Manoah's wife gave birth to a son named Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir his heart. Right? In this man's, in his heart, right? Pretty neat. So this ends chapter 12 and 13. So why don't we close in prayer? There's two short chapters. We'll do a couple more when I get back. But let's go ahead and close in prayer. We'll have a discussion. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us through your word as we have learned so far in all of this book, Lord, that the importance of staying true to you and walking with you in a worthy manner before you, Lord, and staying focused on you, Lord, the importance of that, of being obedient to you, Lord. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.